Welcome to Oh, the People We'll Meet podcast with Stephanie Richardson. We all have those unique experiences with the people we meet, friends or strangers. It's the story that connects us. Today with Stephanie.
We are so blessed to have Stephanie Steele on our podcast. If you struggle with how to navigate the current racial climate, wanting to understand and do better, you'll love how Stephanie teaches us how we can love others by offering grace, asking questions, and spending time with those in our proximity.
Wife, mom, sister, friend, and coach, Stephanie loves people and started funfitmom.com to share her journey to a healthy life. It's simple. Eat, sweat, and live. Join Stephanie anytime at funfitmom.com. Find out more about the latest giveaway, free nutrition and workout tips. Now, here's Stephanie and her guest.
Oh, goodness. I say excited a lot, but I am so excited for you guys to meet my friend, Stephanie Steele. Stephanie and I have met through work. Stephanie, do you remember like the very first time we met? I was trying to think when that was.
It was probably maybe our national meeting around 2013.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's what I was thinking. It was probably one of our big national meetings. And if you have ever met Stephanie in real life, you'll know that her smile lights up everywhere. So if anyone's ever met her, they are like, oh my gosh, Stephanie, like you are just like one of those people that you feel like is like an angel on earth. I don't know. You don't even know how many messages I get from people because we work in this, you know, we work together. And even people that are in other cities and all this stuff, they'll say, I was on a Zoom with Stephanie Steele. Is she on your team? Because she just lights up the Zoom. And in a COVID world, who do we not need? I mean, we all need our Zoom to be lit up, right? With some positivity and some sparkle. And so we've definitely kind of known each other a little bit, but during this quarantine, I feel like I've gotten to know you a little bit better. And so I would love everyone else to get to know your story as well, because I think it's so fascinating. And I love that, you know, that God put us together and I got to meet you in 2013, but I love even more how I've gotten to know you even better over this last year. So tell me a little bit about how you grew up.
Well, I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri area, a suburb called Blue Springs. And it's funny how I think we all have these experiences when you don't realize you're different until somebody tells you that's different. And you think, oh, is it?
This is normal.
So we grew up in this. Right. Exactly. So I grew up in the suburbs. I have an older sister and a younger brother, and I was very much the typical middle child, very quiet, but driven, you know, kind of competitive. I think maybe that's another trait. But my parents, when I was about 10 or 11, decided to go into full-time music ministry. And so my mom plays the piano and my dad sings. And so they would travel, and my grandmother, my mom's mom, would stay with us while we went to school. So they did that for a couple of years, and then it just got to be too hard. I mean, I'm in sixth, seventh grade, and my parents are gone for weeks at a time. And so we made the decision to homeschool. Now, this was back in the late 80s, early 90s, when you said homeschool, and people were like, now what? What is that situation?
People thought you had like buns and like long dresses and
exactly,
you know, Mennonites or I don't know, like you, I mean, which is not bad, but you just thought kind of like country, prairie, maybe kind of
exactly
religious zealots, kind of.
Exactly. There was like a strangeness to it where it's almost like you didn't want to tell people, like we made up this name for our school. So when people ask where we go to school, we could just say this name. So we could like,
what was your school name? I want to hear. What'd you make up?
You would ask. So we took a piece of each of our names. So my sister's middle name is Marie. My middle name is Diane. And my brother's middle name is John. I don't know. Stephanie, I don't know if I've even ever said this before. So we called ourselves Rita John. Rita John from our middle names. Rita John Academy. Like we had a shirt. It was all a thing.
Again, you got a shirt even?
It was silly.
You had a shirt. You even had a shirt?
Well, it was one of those ones we made, you know, you could make.
With puff paint? Was it like with puff paint?
Yes, paint. Yes.
Oh, yes. Puff paint is the best. Oh my gosh. So when you started homeschool, does that mean you were traveling with your parents?
Exactly. So I was in eighth grade and we started traveling full time. We had a fifth wheel trailer and rode in a truck and hold the trailer and park and live in the trailer. We'd go to different churches. And I mean, we still had our home. So we would be out, you know, for a few weeks and come home for a few days and be out for a few weeks and come home. But we would all sing together. We were a little quartet. My mom played the piano. And the churches, the churches we went to were predominantly white churches. You know, the way our neighborhood was predominantly white. It wasn't odd for me. I mean, that's just what I was used to. And so that's just what we did growing up till I graduated. My parents continued to travel. They don't travel as much now, but my dad still sings. My mom still plays the piano. So it was fun.
So y'all would literally go all over the United States and y'all would sing. Mm-hmm. So are you soprano, alto? What are you?
Yes, I was a soprano. My sister was an alto. My brother ended up being the tenor. Like when we first started, he was so little, but he eventually got the tenor voice. My dad was a baritone. It's just funny to look back now. Like my siblings are still in music. My sister is a music teacher. My brother is a full-time musician. And it's just, I was watching, he had a concert last night on Zoom. I was watching and I just thought, wow, I mean, this started so long ago. I love that they're still in music.
What kind of musician is he now?
That's a good question. He's in a band and they do kind of folk, hip hop, R&B. It's like a mixture of things. He's a beatboxer and the other guys play guitar and bass. But it's just like they said in the concert, it's like, it's just positive music. Like we really need positive messages. And so it's fun to see him continue on the family tradition in that way. So.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I definitely, I thought of that because when we were growing up, my grandmother sang and taught voice at the seminary. I don't know if I ever told you this. And she sang with Billy Graham and like traveled like with him in Europe and like,
wow,
all this crazy. She was the first woman recording artist for Word Records. And so, you know, like,
wow.
Which was, you know, I don't even know if Word Records is around, but it's a Christian label. And so we have this like rich heritage and I do not sing. I mean, I do enjoy singing, but the funny part was I never sang because I could not memorize worth a flip. I mean, I had the hardest time memorizing. And so it gave me such anxiety because I just had such a hard time memorizing. And so it's just so funny because I thought, what if my life had changed and I was traveling with my dad? My dad was a great singer. My mom taught music, you know, it's just funny. Like, I'm like, that would have been so fun, like to travel. We always joked, like me and my cousins, we called ourselves the singing Zeligs, if that makes you feel better.
I love that.
And like,
yes,
we would like sing like
it.
Little songs, you know, together. We perform. I mean, oh my gosh, but it wasn't as cool as like what you got to do, but you didn't want
fun memories.
Carry on that tradition, I guess, of music. And
no, I mean, I still sing in the choir at church occasionally, through college. Like my siblings both majored in music. I was always interested in education and teaching. And so that was a path that I went down, but music's always, you know, been a part of my life in other ways, just not the main thing like the rest of my family. So
yeah. And your parents still sing, they still travel some. And oh, that's so cool. And it's gospel music, right?
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Southern gospel, it's just a mixture of different things, but mainly Christian and gospel music. So
that is so cool. I didn't even know that about you until like recently. And I was like, what? You traveled in a fifth wheel and went all over the country. Wait, did y'all go all over like the United States? Or did y'all like go? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're from the Midwest. So we mainly stay in the Midwest, South some. We went out West a couple times. I mean, nothing like your grandmother. I mean, very small church, country church type things. But a lot of good people. I mean, I think, you know, you just, when you are in proximity with people. This is like my big thing. When you're in proximity with people, you just get to know maybe a type of person you wouldn't have known otherwise. And it just develops an appreciation where, you know, I've met farmers and I've met electricians, I've met, you know, teachers or whomever. And so you just appreciate them as a person and then appreciate their perspective just because you knew them, because you were close to them, because you met them. So that's, I have a lot of fond memories, relationships that are still very strong all these years later from traveling. So very grateful for that experience.
And I bet you're really good at like meeting new people, because that would be kind of your life. Like you had to, you know, you probably see those people that are kind of on the outskirts because you've experienced that. So you probably not on the outskirts, but the new person, you know, like, cause you were like the new person, like every day, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Constant new person. Exactly. Oh yeah. I think that's definitely, you know, I grew up a preacher's kid. And so a minister's kid. And so we moved a couple times. And so I think that has developed, that develops who you are, you know, when you're around people and of different, you know, different walks, and you're just forced in situations and new situations and around people all the time. It definitely, mm-hmm. it changes your perspective. So tell me about Tony. Where'd you meet Tony?
Tony. Oh, Stephanie, this story. Tony and I have been married for 14 years. And when he's originally from Detroit and I'm, you know, from Kansas City, and I had moved to Nashville to start working on my PhD. And so it was my first year, and Tony had moved to Nashville because his brother worked at Saturn. I don't even know, remember the car Saturn.
Yes.
It was a Saturn plant that just came to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so my brother was telling them, you know, they need barbers down here. So he had moved to Nashville maybe a year or so before I got here. And so this is something that you may or may not know. Black hair is just a little bit different. And so the care of black hair takes someone with skill for black hair. So I just moved here. I called JCPenney because they had a salon, JCPenney. And I called and I said, do you do black hair? And the woman who answered the phone said, no, we don't. But I saw this place by Kroger and I see people coming out of there and their hair looks nice. And I was like, okay. I mean, what kind of referral is that?
Outside of Kroger? You're right. Next to Kroger?
Right. It was like one of those strip malls that had like, you know, different shops.
See people and come out of there and they look nice. All right.
Yes. Yeah. That was my referral. So I call and this man answers the phone. It wasn't Tony. This other guy who worked in there. And I said, do you do black hair? And he said, yes. And so I made an appointment. And so I go there. I mean, again, I don't know anything. This guy did my hair. So it was like a salon / barbershop. So Tony was the barber on the barber side. And I was with this guy who did women's hair on the salon. And so I'd gone there a few times and I saw Tony. I mean, I talked to you about my upbringing. Very, maybe conservative in ways. Like we didn't, you know, we listened to Christian music, like very, you know, I did Bible quizzing, you know, I went to a Christian college, like very, you know, traditional in that way. And so Tony at the time had dreadlocks. He was a barber. He drove this long Crown Vic car that had like Raleigh stripes down the side. And he would try to talk to me when I was in there. Okay. So this is me, you know, I'm in my late 20s at this point, and he would try to talk to me, and I just started my PhD at Vanderbilt, and I thought I was so important. Like, excuse me.
You
must not know who I am. And so he tried to talk to me, and I would just kind of, you know, banter back and forth, whatever. Didn't pay me any attention. Well, a few weeks later, I saw him at my church, and my pastor, who I greatly respect, went up to him and gave him a hug, and I thought, wait a minute, you know Jesus? Like, you go to church? I have pegged him as this, like, it wasn't kind, the things I was thinking, just from exterior. I know, I'm so embarrassed to say. We did get married. We have a lovely marriage now.
I mean, well, it's just funny that we all have, like, preconceived notions, right, of, like, the way people are. And
exactly.
We judge a book by its color or, you know, we, you know, whatever, exactly. You know, and mm-hmm. so... That's so funny. So you thought he was like this dreadlocks kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Not. Like, we have nothing in common. You listen to rap music. We have nothing in common. So funny, we still don't have a whole lot in common. Jesus. Like, Jesus. We do love each other. We love the Lord.
And you know, I mean, a lot. Melissa always says, she's like, I'm not sure how you and Jeffrey got together because y'all are so different. I'm like, Jesus.
Right.
But, you know, he knows what you need. And sometimes that the opposites, right? He needed, you needed that polar opposite to, yeah.
So true.
And you, yeah. And the most important part is that you both love Jesus. So everything else just works itself out, right?
It all came together. It all came together.
Oh my gosh, that's so, cute. And so he's a barber. And doesn't he have like some like cool, like ice cream truck or something too?
He's very much an entrepreneur at heart. He will always try to, he's always looking for new things. So he has a barbershop that he owns. He's been downtown in our little town in Tennessee for about 13 years. And he just a couple years ago bought an ice cream truck. And he had like, he's such a visionary. And I just thought, ice cream, because, you know, part of my business is health and fitness.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, I don't know how that looks.
Yeah. How does that look for a health coach? Steph, we need to make you talk about it.
Yes, exactly. But it's fun and it works. And who doesn't have fun memories of the ice cream truck and like running down the street and I hear the ice cream truck. So it's been a fun summer thing. And he has our boys, we have four kids together. The older boys will go on the truck with them sometimes. So it's been a fun thing for all of us, which I was surprised that, yeah.
That is so fun. So he just has it during the summer, just kind of an extra thing.
Yep.
That exactly. is so fun. I've seen it on Instagram and I'm like, ah, I want an ice cream truck. That's so cool. That's so, cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I love how entrepreneurial it is. It's so cool.
Absolutely.
So I want to hear about, we're going to go to like a quick break real quick, but then we're going to come back and I want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper into kind of some things that you kind of helped me with this summer. So.
Great.
Stephanie will be back with more in a moment. Right now, here's a special announcement for you. Want to get healthy without the dieting and exercise roller coaster, but don't know where to start? Start by downloading a free meal plan from Stephanie plus workouts at funfitmom.com and hop off the roller coaster. Again, find all the details at funfitmom.com. Now, here's Stephanie with the rest of today's podcast.
Okay, so let's talk about this summer. I came to you saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what is going on and what am I missing and how can I be better? I think that was kind of my cry to you, like, how can I be better? Because, you know, you just said it, even with Tony, you were talking about Tony, how like you judged him based on the way he looked and didn't even Absolutely. Realize it, right? And I thought it was really interesting too. You said you grew up in an all white area, but you never thought anything of it. Like, it was just like you were everybody else. And so when I came to you to ask you about kind of all the racial unrest that was going on, I was like, help me to understand and help me to be better. You know, if I have offended, help me to know how I can do better. So how is this kind of the last 6 months or maybe not quite 6 months kind of meant to you? And what have you learned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and I'm pretty sure I said this to you when we first started talking about this, that I can appreciate and like an awareness, an open heart, a spirit of, I was unaware, like I had no idea, like I received that because there's grace. And I think the rub is when people were surprised at some of the things that people were experiencing, or maybe it's some things that still exist, that there was just an unawareness. That I think when someone comes back with a, how did you not know this? This is not, like, I think that's when there's rub. But I think when somebody's coming with like, please help me understand, that is such a beautiful place. And I think that's where we grow. And I think that's how we live and learn and from each other. And so this summer, I think just brought to light a lot of things that I became more aware of it as I grew into adulthood. You know, so growing up, I just wasn't really attentive. But, you know, going into college and graduate school and, you know, throughout my 20s and into my 30s, I just became more aware of things. Mm-hmm. And so this summer for a lot of us, for a lot of people of color, wasn't necessarily a shock of events were happening. I think there was just opportunity for us to start engaging in conversations with people who were genuinely open and willing and listening. I just appreciated that spirit so much. And so with you, Stephanie, particularly, like, you really, like, I think sometimes people try to downplay, like, oh, that doesn't really happen. Oh, that was in the 60s. But the fact that you and so many people were, you know, just genuinely just had a heart, I think that just shows your heart, that you really just wanted to know and to understand and to listen. I think the spirit of listening was so beautiful and kind for a lot of people this summer. And hopefully it's something that we can continue, even if there aren't like major events, but it's just because you knew me. I mean, that's what goes back to proximity, because we already had a relationship.
Right.
You felt comfortable coming to me, but if our circles are not very diverse and in different ways, I mean, we, just because I'm a person of color doesn't mean I know all about diversity or that all my relationships are super diverse. Like, it's just, we all have room to grow.
Right.
And when we are willing to engage in those conversations, like, I just think it makes us better people. I mean, for me as an adult, I didn't know a lot about, for instance, Native Americans and their history. But there is a Native family at our church, and I just had such a better appreciation and awareness, a sensitivity, because I know them. And now when I hear other things, like, I think of them, and it just makes me something else where I would have glossed over.
Right.
I think, oh, I wonder how they feel about that. Or I wonder what they think about that. So I just think I'm encouraged, as much as there has been a lot of unrest, and I'm still encouraged that people are willing to engage in the dialogue and to listen. And I just think that's where growth and opportunity happen.
I think when I came to, I think you've given me oodles and oodles and abundance of grace. Cause I just think when you, I think sometimes when people want to ask questions, you like, you feel super ignorant sometimes, you know, but you know, because you're like, I should probably know this. I don't understand it. I've never been around it. I've never experienced X, Y, Z, but you were so kind and so gracious and not being like, oh, you're an idiot. What, you know, how do you not know that? You know, you were so gracious and being like, okay, this is how it looks. This is how it's, you know, how it's coming across. And even I think you learned some things that you had not experienced being a woman of color that your brother had experienced. And I think you had kind of talked about that. We asked, because we had two, you know, when a lot of this stuff happened, we had two women of color come on our, specifically Black women on our team, kind of share. And both of you had, I thought, very different viewpoints, Maggie being a 24-year-old Black woman, and then you being in your 40s Black woman, your experiences were totally different. I would say, is that what kind of you
would say?
Yeah. It was interesting to hear both of your, you know, viewpoints, which have been probably like, you know, if I talked to a 24-year-old white woman compared to a 40, I mean, you just learn different things, you know, and based on your experience, where you grew up, your socioeconomic, your, you know, proximity, like you're talking about who you grew around, you know, all these things kind of play into that. And so it was very interesting to hear both of your point of views, but I will say the amount of grace that you both gave was incredible. And I think a lot of people, like white people or people that are, you know, coming around some of a different race can say like, hey, like a different color, a different race, whatever it is, say, hey, I don't understand this. Can you help me understand? And I think that was the point, instead of just like ignoring it, instead of like pretending like it wasn't there, pretending like this is crazy, you know? And so I was like, I don't understand, help me understand, you know? And I think if you're a white woman on listening to this podcast and you're thinking, I don't understand, like find a Black woman and just say, hey, I don't understand. Can you help me understand this? And I think that's so much better than us getting like our feathers ruffled Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what happens. Like, well, I'm not racist, or I don't do this, or I, you know.
Right.
Well, I think what this has done is for a white woman to say, oh, wait, maybe I have, like, Lord, check in me what unclean things I have in my heart. And I think what are some things that I've told myself, or some stereotypes? I mean, just like the stereotypes you have with Tony, right?
Exactly.
Same thing.
We all have it.
What are some stereotypes that I'm playing in my head? What are some things? Am I not getting to know the person and who they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And it, regardless of their background, their color, their race, whatever it is, you know? And so, it's just been an interesting, gosh, I have so far to go, but I feel like over this time, I feel like the Lord has just like peeled back some ugliness that I didn't realize I had, you know, and that's probably why people get a little bit more puffed up, because when you have to deal with your own pride or your own like ugliness, that's not very fun. You know, when you're like, ooh, I didn't realize that was there. Like Lord, please like help me with that. That's, you know, just, you know, it definitely brought up some things. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I had that. You know, I didn't realize that was unkind for me to think that way, or, you know, act this way or whatever.
Yeah. No, I just think that's beautiful. I think that's the human journey. And when we're willing to humble ourselves in any way, there's just such beautiful opportunity for you to improve as a person, to have deeper relationships, to get to know people maybe you wouldn't have known, or to experience things you may not have experienced if you weren't willing to. Like you said, we do get really defensive, and I don't think it's specific to a particular race or color. I think Black people can be just as guilty with, like you said, like unkind things or prejudice or assumptions, or like we have our own issues even amongst Black people. So I just think we all, when we have that spirit of humility, when we are willing, like you said, to pray and say, God, show me, you know, the plank in my eye, like help me see where I'm falling short. I just think that's what he wants us to do. I think that's what Jesus wants us to do, how God wants us to live. And that's when there can be harmony and progress and all the things. But when we're just not willing to first look at ourselves, I love that you said that, like there was a self-awareness that started first before you came to me. So it wasn't just like, I don't get this. Tell me, it wasn't that. It was your own personal reflection. And then I met it with my own personal reflection. And I think that's why we were able to discuss things the way that we were. Because it started personally and then it went outward to really trying to understand the other person's perspective.
Right. So has this changed with your kids, like with your, like kind of your parenting with your kids? Is that like since this summer or whatever, has it changed things, or are you still kind of the same things?
I don't think it's changed. I think there's always been like, if people have Black children, you're kind of ultra sensitive on certain things. So I was already sensitive, meaning, you know, wanting to make sure they're safe, like who are you with, want to make sure they're not being mistreated, all of those things. We chose not to really enter those conversations. My oldest is 10. I have a 10, 8, 6, and 4. And so I know one day we will have conversations. I have 3 little boys. We will have conversations with our boys about certain things that may or may not happen because of the color of their skin. And maybe I'm just trying to protect that time for as long as possible before we have to have those conversations, because I know it's coming and I'm well aware. But just trying to teach them just to be kind. The school that they go to is a diverse school. And, you know, we talk about differences. Like I don't want them to feel like being different is a bad thing, or that, you know, something happens because they're Black, so that means Black is bad. Like, I don't want them to grow up thinking that. I want them to grow up appreciating everyone. And again, I know those tough conversations will come, but maybe just as a mom, I'm just trying to slowly ease into when we absolutely have to. And, you know, in a way, I mean, they were aware of some things, but just in a way that's appropriate for them. And hopefully, you know, you just want, for any issue with your kid, you just don't want them to have to grow up too quickly. But we'll respond obviously as we need to, but specifically events this summer, we just didn't go real deep into it. Even I think trying to understand that and the coronavirus at the same time, I just felt like it was a lot for little minds.
And homeschooling, so, and all the things.
Right.
Exactly. You know, I think it's so is their experience a little bit different because you went to an all white school? Like, were you the only Black kids in your
school? Yes, I was the only, one of the only for all the way, you know, until we started homeschooling. And so I know what it's like to be the only. And so we chose a school that celebrates diversity and celebrates the fact it's a Christian school, that a kingdom school should look like the kingdom, and that's diverse. And so I'm thankful that they have the opportunity to attend our school. And I wanted them, Tony, he grew up in Detroit and just a very different experience. And I think I wanted to find something
in the middle, in between. Maybe?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did, you told me something that your mom said about being Black in an all-white school. I thought that was really interesting.
Is this when I talked about how we have to be 10 times better?
Yeah.
Did I tell you this?
Yeah.
That's one message. My parents, we didn't go deep. I mean, they grew up in the 60s. Like, they were very much, but they weren't like all up in it. Like, they were in college and they were like living life like we all do. But still, they were aware. And, you know, they're both from the South, and remembered when there were colored only water fountains, and they lived it. It was very much still a memory. And so the message I was given growing up is that as a Black person, we need to strive to be 10 times better, meaning that we want to make sure we come with excellence. And so there was an expectation. It wasn't a pressure. Like, I never felt like I need to be perfect. I never felt that. I just felt like, you better come correct. Like, don't be coming in here sloppy. Like, you're representing. So there was
almost basically like, how I was taught too. Why don't you have your makeup
exactly.
on? What is wrong with you?
Right.
You did not go out of the house without makeup.
Exactly. So I think for a lot of Black people, there the representation, like realizing that if you're one of the only Black people in the room, you're representing Black people. So come correct, be on time, do your work, be nice to people. So that was the message that my parents gave me. In a way, again, it didn't make me like have unrealistic goals or expectations. It just made me always want to do my best.
Yeah. I was just reading a book. It's called Four. I can't remember the author.
I'm reading it too.
You're reading it. Have you gotten to the part where he talked about your success? He said, like, people are like, oh, you want to be successful. And he said, when you talk about success, it's pitting you against someone else. But when you strive for excellence, you are reaching you're trying to reach your potential. So the difference between success and excellence is success, you're competing with other people, which you'll never win, right? But excellence is you trying to meet the potential that God has for you. I love that quote. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what your mom taught you, right? She's like, you be excellent. You be excellent.
Exactly.
It wasn't like, you be better than the other girls. It was like, you be excellent. And so she was setting you up for excellence, you know, which is way better than success. I think that's so cool.
Exactly.
I love that. So the boys are 10, 8, 6.
And then my daughter's 6. And then my last son is 4.
Oh, wait. So it's 2 boys and then she's 6 and then 4.
Dana, yes.
So cute. If you have to follow Stephanie you have to follow Stephanie's Instagram because they're like working out with her every day. Is it Dr. Stephanie Steele? Is that your?
Yeah. Exactly.
Dr. Stephanie Steele, STEELE is her Instagram. And so you definitely want to follow her and see those cute babies and just watch you know, how you're raising them. And you and Tony are doing such a great job. And you and Tony, y'all look like brother and sister because y'all both have this like awesome smile. It's like, oh, you know, people say that about Jeffrey and I too, that we look like brother and sister because we both have like light eyes and dark hair. I'm like, that's kind of weird, but so funny. Okay. But yeah, you have like, y'all both have this like beaming smile. You can just cannot miss. Like, you cannot miss it. It's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I just love it. Okay. I'm going to ask you a couple fun questions. Now that we've had a little harder questions,
yes.
I'm sure like, okay, levity to this, right? Okay. So I want to ask you, what is your favorite parenting advice? Or your parenting do-over that you would like to have?
So my parenting advice is, we take sleep very seriously. We sleep in this house. Like, nap time is serious. Bedtime is serious. Like, we don't mess around. I see pictures of kids like falling asleep at the dinner table. And they're like, oh, that's so cute. No, none of that here. When it's bedtime, we go to bed. When it's nap time, we nap. And that has been, that is my advice. We go to bed at 7, we nap for 2-3 hours. Yep, that's what I got.
You got sleep. Well, I mean, it's so important because then they're growing, they're nicer, they're not as cranky, and mama's mm-hmm. not as cranky. Mm-hmm. So it's just like all exactly. together a good thing. Okay, what yeah. book are you reading right now?
Well, I'm reading the same one that you just mentioned, 4 by Jeff Henderson. I listen on Audible, so sometimes I'll like jump around to different books, but I'm trying to finish up that book right now and just wanting to make sure that I'm not always focused on myself and my own goals when I'm serving people and in my business, to make sure that I am creating a community where people feel like they belong. And so it's really challenged me. I think our business is one that you can set your own personal goals. It's like, I want this, I want this. And it's like, wait a minute now. No, who is this for? Who's the star here? And I think it's really challenged me to think more about the people I'm trying to serve, to think more about my team, and think more about ways to make sure people feel like they belong.
Yeah.
And that sense of belonging is just so powerful.
You probably felt that sense of belonging. I mean, I think the church is that right? So when you would go to maybe a church that you didn't know, and you're all over the place, mm-hmm. but just that commonality of belonging to Christ, exactly. like kind of had that.
Exactly.
So every time you went into a different church, you had at least that commonality, right?
Exactly.
So beautiful.
Exactly.
That's how we need to kind of create our business goals as well, right? To have that same kind of belonging. That people feel like they're not being sold to, but they're important. They're more important than a product. It's so right. important. What is your favorite a beverage, adult or otherwise?
I am such a water drinker. It's so plain, I know. I drink a lot of water. But I just started getting into tea. And I know like some people like really know tea, and I don't know a lot of different teas. But it depends on the mood. Like if it's in the morning, I have a vanilla tea with that has caffeine in it. If it's in the afternoon, it's more so like mellow type warm tea. So
yeah, you like iced tea or hot tea?
Hot tea. Yeah, hot tea.
Are you a sweet tea drinker?
Tea. No, I'm not a sweet tea.
Me neither. I mean, I'm an iced tea drinker. Like I'm drinking iced tea right now. Like I'm like an iced tea drinker. Like people are coffee drinkers.
Gotcha.
I live on Energize, and Energize and iced tea is pretty much, and water. But I'm always have something I'm drinking constantly. So I totally get that. I love hot tea too. Is there a vanilla? That sounds really good. I think I need to find that.
Yeah. I can't remember. It has like, it's like vanilla energy, something, something.
Oh, I need to find that. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was all my questions I had for you. I'm so excited. I'm so glad that you were on here, that you shared your time with us. And I mean, it's just such an honor, and that you help us navigate kind of, is there anything else with like the race stuff that you have that you want to share?
I think what I keep going back to, even in this year that's been challenging for a lot of us, is that when it comes down to it, I have neighbors and their families that go to our kids' school and people in our church. Like when it comes down to it, like we just have to know each other. Like I can learn from the people across the street or next door, or, you know, we don't have to, I just think make things so complicated. I think sometimes it really just comes down to being intentional with relationships and getting to know people and learning about their story. And I think that's going to help us understand other perspectives so much more. And that's easy to do. Like, so it's not even like, go take a course or read a bunch of books. Like, I think that's valuable, but sometimes it's just like, hey, my neighbor's outside, their kids are playing, let me go outside too. And it's just being intentional in that way.
Just being intentional is huge. Thank you for listening to my podcast, Oh, the People We'll Meet. Please visit my website at funfitmom.com, where you can learn more about what I do or contact me directly. If you love the podcast, would you share it with your friends and even subscribe? I'm looking forward to who we get to meet next time. Until then.